Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
I mean, that's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says, that's a bad shot. But that story won't be told that it was a bad shot.
Tied at 115, crowd rising to the feet. George will defend Lillard.
After a week of sports that could drive a sane person crazy, two men arrive in the wee hours of a Sunday to provide clarity, truth, and questionable sports takes.
Spread floor, Lillard with 47 tonight. Working it down to 2-1, a deep three.
Oh! What?
This is Sports Sunday.
Blazers win the series, a walk-off three from Lillard.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Damian Lillard from way downtown.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher with Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I mean, that's a bad shot.
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome in to Sports Sunday. On 1080, The Fan, got my boy Rashad Taylor.
Heyo.
Got Jordan Schultz. He is back from Boston.
And very sad.
Very sad. I'm intrigued to know why. I was laughing when we were coming into the show, though, because as we've done so much on this station over the past week, we've essentially become 1080 the Titanic submersible, is what it's turned into. And just... Well, the people on there, you know, sad that they lost their lives. I appreciate their sacrifice because I have learned just so much about the ocean and scientific stuff over the last week now. Like, I do appreciate it's almost like, you know, old 45, the last president. It's like, say what you want about him. Most people would say he's, you know, well, I mean, just look at his track record, but. I will say he did make me pay attention a lot more to politics and have like a little bit more knowledge on some subjects that I didn't beforehand. So I guess a billionaire submarine guy working it with a Logitech Xbox controller, I thank you because now I know so much more about the ocean and submarine and air pressure and everything like that.
Go ahead, Jordan. I was going to say, I feel like he has the perfect name, Stockton. Rest in peace, Stockton Rush. You wouldn't really be doing that with a guy named Brad Smith. Like, oh, this guy named Brad's going to be taking these things down submersibles to try and take you to see the Titanic. No, it would be a guy named Stockton.
Yo.
I blew Rashad's mind before he came on.
So I think we all remember initially when we heard about this. So like, people are missing going to see that Titanic. I'm like, what? And then you start
like
seeing
that happened 100 years ago.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah. I mean, okay. And then you start seeing the size of the mini sub that they took down there. And it's like, uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. And then you're like, oh, well, we can't find them. It's like, oh, no. First thing I said is, oh, those people are gone. Like, and this is and this is honestly, I think, for me, I think it's become a huge joke. And I think it's important to remember that there were lives lost, you know, as it, mind you, it, like the whole, like, man,
I feel bad.
Small...
I feel bad for the kid that got basically sucked into it because he wanted to make his dad happy over Father's Day weekend. You know,
well, the 19-year-old, the son and dad. That's the one.
The one I feel bad for.
You know, it's one of those things, man. So, like, I want to keep that in mind. But, yo, there are certain things I don't mess with. I don't mess with space. And more than space, I don't mess with the ocean. Like, there are rules to just going to, like, put your feet in the ocean, right? You got to stand sideways to make sure it doesn't completely, like, sweep you away into the depths of whatever is out there. There's so much ocean, and it's so vast.
And space is actually safer than deep ocean exploration.
Probably.
Rashad.
See, again, this is one of the things I learned about the Great Big Blue over the week. Is that there's the different zones in the ocean as you get deeper because of the amount of depth and the sunlight.
Pressure.
Yes, the pressure, all that good stuff. And one of those, the deepest one, is called the Hadal Zone, H-A-D-A-L. This is the deepest parts of the ocean, 20,000 to 36,000 feet below sea level. There have been, I believe it was either more people in space or on the moon than in this part of our ocean.
Isn't it like Titanic director James Cameron has been down to the Mariana Trench, and he is the one human, I think, that has reached that depth, and overall, I think the lowest depth of any human of any water exploration ever. Just reading all this, it's kind of fascinating to find out all these things, not only about space, but then, you know, other deep sea exploration missions as well. Just crazy information coming out with this.
What's the deepest part of the ocean?
The Hadal Zone, H-A-D-A-L.
And it's how far?
About 36,000.
Like 20 to 36,000 feet. It's that kind of a range there.
Okay, so one of the tallest buildings.
Like the Burj Khalifa or something?
Is like, it says 2,700 feet.
Oh my God.
Tallest building in the world.
So 10, what is that, 10 of those?
Well, just think 36,000 feet, that's how high an airplane flies.
Like, I mean.
So we're up above the clouds. That's how low the lowest depths of the ocean are.
So, I mean, just to put that into perspective, like, there are certain places I just don't want to go. And honestly, the ocean is one of them. You know, I'll go to the beach all day, but I don't mess with the ocean. I don't mess with, like, even cruise ships and stuff like that. I don't know if you've seen that recent, there was a small video that went around. I guess they're on a cruise ship, Carnival cruise, something like that. And hurricane starts.
Oh,
wind starts blowing.
Did, like, the lawn chair fly
lawn chair
off the
roof? Everywhere. It's like, man, yo, this happens in the ocean.
There was a lady holding a baby, and the lawn chair took out the stroller.
Almost.
Thank God the baby wasn't in the stroller.
Man, no, so.
It was. There was one guy recording a video, like, in selfie mode, like.
Could you imagine being out there with your kid? You know, and my kid is only, like, 70 pounds, right? 75 pounds. And that wind picks up and takes one of your kids into
the ocean.
Blown
away like a road sign,
dude. There's certain things that the ocean is just, it's there's
Damn,
so much that we don't know, and I'm just not messing with it. I was saying, I thought the Meg or the Kraken or something like that got a hold of those people, unfortunately.
Like that 18-year-old stupid kid in the Bahamas, yeah.
Dude, I mean, the one thing about, I learned basically about the implosion that happened to the sub.
God.
Let's just say they didn't even realize what happened.
Like, no, milliseconds.
The science that has come out of, like, what happened to them is like, oh my God. The fact that stuff like this can happen on planet Earth, like, that's why I always love nature shows and, like, nature documentaries, because our world, man, is a sci-fi show alone sometimes. This morning, perfect example. Have you ever seen a stonefish? Do you know what that is?
I think so.
If you're listening out there, if you're chilling on the couch, enjoying your breakfast, go ahead and Google stonefish. They're these ugly looking things. And they have these little spikes that come out of, I think it's their dorsal fin. That's the top one. But they like to just chill on the rocks sometimes, like out in the open.
Okay. Yeah, they look like
rocks.
They're
just like a hangout, you know. If you step on one of those, these little barbs come out of their top fin.
Oh, God.
And it's like this blue venom. It's crazy. Like I said, it looks like a sci-fi movie. One of the most excruciating, like, venom poisons that you can encounter. People that have stepped on these things have said they would want they'd tell the doctor, just take the foot off. Please, I don't even want it anymore. Pain subsides after, like, 12 to 24 hours. But just imagine you're just doing your thing out on the Oregon coast. You step on a stonefish, and then all of a sudden your life is altered for the next day.
Yeah, that's terrible. You know, there's so many things in
that's
nature.
That's cool.
Nature is awesome. Nature's awesome, but also scary as hell.
You talked about...
Damn, nature, you scary.
Yeah, no, you scary as hell, bro.
You talked about the science of what these five explorers tragically experienced.
Imagine a steam pressure cooker times, like, 10,000.
Oh, beyond that. Yeah, because... all right, we're going to get a little gross here, but essentially in a millisecond or a nanosecond is what some scientists are saying, the pressure went away inside... All of this imploded, and it turned into like an Instapot, a pressure cooker. So yeah, in that millisecond, they all got cooked into gel and squeezed out along with that implosion, you know, into the ocean, essentially. And
it turned into chum, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I read that, be happy that they didn't experience any pain. The science behind this, I think it takes less than 100 milliseconds to experience, like, pain for a brain signal. And then it actually takes 13 milliseconds for you to see something.
This guy was watching the same video as I was.
Yeah, you and I are on YouTube watching the same stuff. I bet our histories are very similar.
Again, this stuff is like just opened up my mind to learn about so much. I was never much of a science guy.
I just didn't have time to feel anything, though.
Freshman year of high school, I missed the first two weeks of chemistry. My appendix got taken out.
That's probably a good thing.
And I never recovered after
that. It'd be like that sometime.
Yeah.
Chemistry sucks.
So never became a science guy after that. But the earth, the ocean, like geography and, man, this stuff just, it just blows my mind. Our world is, man.
It's pretty easy for me. Don't do that.
I agree with
don't go there.
Rashad.
When you snorkel or anything like that, if you've ever been snorkeling, you're like 10 feet, you know what I'm saying? Maybe less than that, you know, sometime just in the water. Even that for me brings a little just anxiety. I'm a good swimmer. I wouldn't say I'm Michael Phelps or like the strongest swimmer in the world, but, you know, you get me down about 10 feet. I'm like, okay, time to go up.
There was definitely, I look back on my trip to Hawaii a couple of years ago, and I did plenty of snorkeling. In retrospect, I'm like, damn, I can't believe I went out that far into the ocean.
Damn, nature, you scary.
Damn, Joe, you stupid. That's more what it was like, especially when I heard about the shark attack that happened that same weekend I was on that. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh.
No, thank you.
What the hell
Sharks,
was I thinking?
Whales. Jellyfish.
I've been
octopus,
stung by jellyfish.
You know,
no,
like,
thank you.
Like all these things out there in the ocean that can, and these are just things that we know about.
And we've seen the orca uprising lately too. I believe Isaac and Suk, they talked about it on like Thursday or Friday. Orcas are ramming into boats now and
killing people.
No, they're taking it back.
Yeah.
They're taking back their land.
Good
I'm
for
not
them.
Mad at them.
Good for them.
Yeah, all this this sub thing did for me was ensure that I will not do any extreme sports. Like, even to the point of, like, ziplining.
I wouldn't
hell
consider this
no,
an extreme
I
sport. I would consider that an extremely dumb sport.
Extreme exploring, going to the depths of, like, challenging, you know, the top of physical, like, limits or whatever. Screw that. I will never do any of that.
I would say that I should feel bad about this whole segment, but James Cameron went on CNN and like absolutely dunked on the CEO for like a whole segment. So,
well, carbon fiber
like,
that deep,
like right after they found out that they were lost and you know it imploded, he was just
James
like,
Cameron knew better. He
I don't
saw
know,
it.
I don't
I
know if you guys saw the stories.
This doesn't end well.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you guys saw the stories leading up, but the actual construction of this pod, the Titan submarine. Even Stockton Rush was quoted in some videos, like you can find the sound clips of him saying, I broke some rules to make this happen.
Yeah, these are off-the-shelf components.
Like, dude.
The frame of it was a Volkswagen bus.
When you start looking at the way this thing was built, number one, when I saw the PlayStation 2 controller, I was like, oh, okay, this is destined to be bad, for sure. And then you start seeing all the little kind of makeshift parts that went into making this thing is like, oh yeah, this is going to be bad.
I feel bad for Logitech. Their stock took a hit this week for no fault of their own.
No, just being in. It's kind of like when Chris Noth in and just like that died on the Peloton. His character Big in that show Peloton stock took a hit too. same deal, unfortunately.
So, what do you think was constructed more poorly? That submersible the Titan or the Blazers roster over the last 10 years?
Oh, mm. Mm.
Oh. Damn,
burn.
Joe.
Burn.
Well, I think
definitely
we.
The Bla- no,
well, I think we have to
definitely the submarine, but I think the Blazers roster is a close second.
I think post Rolo and Wes Matthews, Dame addition pieces. I think post that era, I think we could call it Portland.
Well, we're in a whole new era now, and you can text in to the 10 of the Fan text line 503-864-6326 at 503-864-6FAN. Here on Sports Sunday, it's time to get into it, and what I like about Sports Sunday is that it's not reactionary. We have a few days to take in all the information. We're logical. It's common sense here. You know, we're middle of the road. We know what to say. We know we have the right opinion. But man,
we've had some time to stew on it. Right?
This is hard. I'm not gonna lie. Awesome. Being a Blazer fan, this is a hard road to go down with Scoot Henderson and Damian Lillard. But we will do it next, right here, Sports Sunday.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
1080 The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
So, what the hell do the Blazers do? That is the question. Well,
they won a championship now. Here we go.
They did something on Thursday, that's for sure. And with their number 3 overall pick, thank you, Michael Jordan, they selected Scoot Henderson to be the next Portland Trailblazer. They also selected 2 other Blazers, Chris Murray and Ryan Rupert. And now we are faced with, as I said, the new era of the Blazers, and that is the youth movement. While I did say coming into this segment that it's, we're heading down the road of Dame and Scoot, and what do we do with them? Quite frankly, I think we are on the 11th hour, and the clock is ticking, and Damian Lillard, if not by the beginning of the season, trade deadline or at the end of this next season, will not be a Blazer. I think that making this move with Scoot Henderson, and then the days after where you actually introduce him to the media, you get him a jersey, he's making his rounds in Portland, he shows up at Raising Cane's yesterday, which I was mad I wasn't there for.
The cane sauce, man.
I know, man. Just so dangerous. Even just the Texas toast.
Yeah, man.
Gosh.
Everything but the chicken.
Well, you put the chicken on the Texas toast and with the cane sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The chicken is the side.
Joey, if you're listening to the radio, we're going to Raising Cane's later today, probably. But point aside, Scoot Henderson is now a Blazer. He is also 6'2". He's also a point guard. And essentially does the same exact things as Damian Lillard, but maybe not shoot as well. I don't see how this team exists with the both of them on there for more than a year. That's why I think it's time to come to the realization that the Damian Lillard era is going to be coming to an end here soon. Unfortunately, I mean, that Rashad, you've heard me how staunch I've been about it over the last year now and how defensive I get at the notion of that, but the last few weeks, and like I said, the last few days, really, you come to that realization that this is their guy going forward. And whether it's a few weeks, month, 2 months, a year, Dame's not going to be a Blazer.
I mean, I think most of us kind of saw it coming one way or the other. You know, Dame only has, what, another 4 years on his contract now after the extension that he had. So that would have made him right around 36 when his contract expired here, you know, right around that age. So in basketball years, though he did have his best season, you know, that he's had as a professional, it's probably his worst win-loss record that he's ever had as a professional. The Blazers are in basketball purgatory. If you're in the draft lottery, that means that, and this year was a pretty, I don't want to say soft draft, but it wasn't super deep outside of the top five, top six guys that were taken.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of gambles.
And the number 23 pick was pretty solid.
And
too.
I thought Chris Murray was,
he fell a little bit. Yeah.
His comparison was his brother Keegan. So if that's
set the rookie season record for three pointers.
And if that's your ceiling is being as good as your brother, then I'll take that. Because Keegan Murray was one of the better rookies in all of the NBA this year. And is probably going to have a really good career. So if his brother is anything like that and he plays a wing spot, which is something the Blazers desperately need, I think that could be good. What you've just done is you build for the future. One thing we know is, like, as much as we want to be a big market team, we're not. Like, and some of the things that places like San Francisco, which is Golden State, and the Lakers and Boston, Miami, they can build their team for the next couple years and then blow it up when it doesn't work. That's the luxury they have as being a big market team. They're never going to have a problem getting in free agents. We, on the other hand, are going to have a problem getting in free agents. So we have to try to cultivate what we have for the next 10 years. We got 10, 12 years of Drexler. After Drexler, that was a long lull of the Blazers not really drafting anybody great in the first round, even within the lottery. And then they were making the playoffs all those years, so they were drafting towards the end of the draft anyway. Then you finally get Brandon Roy and LaMarcus. You get about 9 years out of that whole thing, you know, until LaMarcus leaves. We've been able to squeeze out 10 or 11 years out of this Damian Lillard situation. We even got, of those 11 years, man, we got 9 of them with CJ, or eight of them with really good CJ, you know, at that point. Now this is an opportunity for the Blazers to have another 10 years, potentially, of a star athlete. And I really think this beginning of the season is going to tell us a lot as far as what the Blazers plan to do. Because let's say, and we're knocking on wood here, we're some type of wood somewhere.
I think this is faux marble. That's what we have in here.
There's some underneath.
Maybe it's carbon fiber wood.
Yeah, I think there's some wood.
Yeah, carbon fiber wood. That's the thing.
Right underneath the table. You know what I'm saying? But you have an opportunity now to take these young guys during the beginning of the season and hope that they can show some promise. If Scoot Henderson comes out at the beginning of the year and he's anything that we think that he's going to be, it's going to be much easier for the Blazers to trade Dame by that trade deadline. Much easier for them to do that. Now, let's say he comes out and he's struggling. He's not quite there. Yeah, they're going to hang on to him for a little. They're going to hang on to Dame for a little bit and maybe figure out how to work out this Paul George thing or one of these other veterans that maybe may come available by that time. So I think really that first 25 games of the season, 30 games of the season, is going to tell us a whole lot about what the Blazers plan to do with Dame. Because if Scoot comes out and he's rookie of the month, or he's, you know, something like that, or he's in the mix for being one of the better rookies, like, I think it's going to be easier for the Blazers to say, okay, Dame, I think we can move forward. I don't think they're going to do that yet because he's still a rookie. We don't know what we're going to get all the way.
Well,
and you have a superstar player in Damian Lillard for sure. You know you have that. So you're going to ride that out for now. And if Scoot shows any promise, if Chris Murray shows any promise, I think the Blazers are going to say, okay, let's pull. Now, if we're going to pull the trigger, now's the time.
Well, the timing of this draft pick and the franchise and everyone right now, it's kind of awkward. So obviously the draft happens while Dame is out of town. He's in Paris. So, and he's also there with family and friends. I mean, LeBron and Draymond are out there. Maybe he's linking up with them.
Oh, you know they're having a yacht party. That's
for sure,
happening.
For sure.
Tampering.
Down in Monaco,
exactly.
Or wherever.
Tampering.
But you know that they're together. The time difference is huge. Like, any communication between the Blazers and Dame. Rashad, if you're in Paris, France, do you want to talk work? Do you want to take a call and, you know, figure out some strategies, business calls while you're with
the Blazers?
With your family and friends?
Not from the Blazers. You know who I will take have a conversation with? You know, I will have a conversation with LeBron.
My agent, Aaron.
What's
Goodwin.
Up, bro? Like L.A., huh? Like,
just, man, talking ball.
Closer to home. I'm 6 hours away from Oakland. If I do that, like, that could work. You know who you are talking to? Draymond, bro.
God.
Hey, man, come to Oakland, bro. You see, we just got CP3. I'm sure if we find out that they want you or you want to come there, man, we'll make something happen to get you there. Like, all those friends that he has as the homie, like, I played high school sports, right? And your friend from another school probably plays, you know, high school sports. You're like, man, if you came here with us, you'd be so cold. If we went to the same school together.
I mean, LeBron and Dame had that conversation like two summers ago.
They've been in each other's inboxes forever. They've been sending each other up texts for the past 5 years.
LeBron has been sending those texts.
Dame has been sending smiley faces back. You know what I mean? Like,
not faces. No.
Yeah.
Teasing him a little bit.
Yeah, what's the little one with the little smirk, you know, to the left? I'm like, that's the one Dame's been sending
flirting
back.
With you a little.
I'm not saying anything back, but I'm letting you know that I am interested, too. And I think that's the thing. You have these guys that are friends. Dame's at the end of his career. You got guys that have championships, and Draymond that he kicks it with, and LeBron that he kicks it with. Like, yeah, you were crazy if we're not thinking they're going, bro, if you just came here. When the whole thing with KD and Kyrie, when did that happen? It's like the All-Star game. See, they're talking, bro, if you and I was played together, we can do this. These dudes get together and they have these conversations in their little silos about what their futures look like. So, yeah, I think it's all just a matter of time, though. Like, we're going to see what these first 30 to 35 games of the season bring, because if either one of these rookies pop the way that I think a lot of Blazer fans are excited for them to pop, then I think Dame's days are numbered. And mind you, I think Dame is ready to go.
All right,
Dame's ready to go.
I got to chime in and say, like, I understand we kind of have to have this conversation, but as a diehard Blazers fan, I'm just not there yet. I'm not really to the point of acceptance that this is happening. I'm still kind of hung up on Joe Cronin's comments at the end of the season talking about wanting to make a push and wanting to make a big move and then literally looking like a kid, you know, kind of kicking his shoes with his hands in his pockets at the press conference post-draft on Thursday saying, you know, well, the big move and the best option was to draft Scoot Henderson at number 3. Rashad, you talk about the time that the Blazers have with, you know, these special pieces. And you're right. You know, they've gotten a decade or so out of each of these, you know, franchise-changing pieces, teams led by, you know, really good guys that could have been more but didn't end up being so. But Damian Lillard is more special than all of them. Damian Lillard is like top 75 NBA player of all time. I would think that the closest they've had to this point in Portland is Clyde Drexler, right? You can't just give up on that for somebody that, yes, he could be amazing, Scoot Henderson. And in a vacuum, the draft was great for Portland. However, we're not in a vacuum. We're dealing with the last 2 or 3 years of prime and one of the best players that the Blazers will ever get their hands on. And just giving up on that early It kills me. It's not the right thing to do. Scoot could be awesome. He could also be Antonio Daniels or Sebastian Telfair. Antonio Daniels was the big, rock-solid, strong point guard in the 1999 draft. Went fourth overall after Tim Duncan and guys like that. Similar to the Victor Wembanyama-like situation where Tim Duncan was the guaranteed number one overall pick. There were some guys that were on a lower tier, but in another draft, they would have been considered maybe the top overall pick easy if a Tim Duncan weren't there. That's what the Blazers are dealing with right now. And if you want to get really, really sticky with me, it kind of draws comparisons to I've been talking about the Blazers moving on from Mike Dunleavy to Mo Cheeks in the early 2000s. Now moving on to Terry Stotts or from Terry Stotts to Chauncey Billups. What did they do back in the early 2000s? They drafted Sebastian Telfair after that.
That was silly though.
And now they're drafting Scoot Henderson. I have not heard one Blazer fan or analyst say, you know, it could go badly with Scoot. There has not been one person, and I understand the talent is there. He's been a professional since he was 17, but I'm not there. I'm not at acceptance, guys. I'm still really pissed. Well, I want to pick my eyes out with an ice pick.
Well, I think that the possibility of it not working out is the case with every player that's ever been drafted ever. So if you're living in the mindset that that's what you're worried about, then you probably don't
but
need to be a GM.
Dame. It's Dame. I get it. I hear what you guys are saying.
But Dame was also a 6th overall pick out of Weber State.
Who the hell is where? Because I mean, you're looking at a person when Damian Lillard was drafted. Was like, who the is Damian Lillard from Weber State?
I understand that, but he's going to end up being a guaranteed Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer.
He is.
We hit the lottery in Portland being able to watch that guy for a decade.
No, we absolutely have. But at the same time, we've watched a great player accomplish. Nah, not a whole lot. Of 11 years, how many times all NBA? So 3 times all NBA in 11 years. You've been to 6 All-Star, 7 All-Star games at this point. You've been out of the first round, 4 times?
No, I know.
Conference finals once. Like, I get it. It's all good, and
as fans, we're supposed to keep showing up for the GM making that decision?
No.
That's where I am lost.
And
cut the cord.
And I think for me, the big thing is, like, as much as I love Dame, I love the Blazers more because when Dame is gone, like, I'll still be when he's old and, you know, can't do basketball anymore, I'm more than likely still going to be a Blazers fan. And so, yeah, I would like to know that, like, at this point, with this, what we know, it hasn't worked. 11 years, this hasn't worked. So, yeah, maybe it's time for something new. And maybe Scoot pops. Maybe he doesn't. If he doesn't pop, hey, we got Dame for another 4 years.
But also, right. I like the chances when you have, I don't know, the 3rd pick in the NBA draft. I like taking the risk on a player. We're not talking about the 23rd, 27th, 30th, and let's hope. Or we traded
up. It's not a Nolan Smith.
We didn't trade up for a Zach Collins at 10, and we're like, ooh, fingers crossed. It's like, dude, this guy.
It's the highest draft pick we've had since Greg. Yeah. And mind you, before he got hurt, man, Go was good. And the Blazers were projected to be a championship team within 4 to 5 seasons. Like, that's how good they were. And so we'll just have to see. I believe in Scoot. I've seen enough of him at this point to say, okay, well, he might be the next guy. So I guess time will tell. And I'll give it 35 games or so.
And I do want to talk about Scoot a little bit because, I mean, Blazers drafted him on draft night. I said, all right, let's give it a couple days so that way it can kind of set in. And you see him at the press conference. You see him with the jersey number now getting in the city. He's going to be a Blazer.
00.
He's part of the team. So let's figure out and find out more about Scoot Henderson, because so far in these last 3 days, I like what I'm seeing. We get to that next, but Jordan Schultz, SportsCenter update.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Scoot Henderson is your newest Trailblazers. Wow, words. Am I okay? Am I having a stroke?
It happens, bro.
I just think you don't want to say it. I think you're just like...
I smell toast. Am I okay?
Fast.
Scoot Henderson is your newest Portland Trailblazer. Enunciate with the lips, the teeth, and the tongue.
Now, brown cow.
Yes. The librarian in elementary school taught me that one. Not the brown cow, the enunciation thing. Anyways, Scoot Henderson, God, you know what? Raising Cane's better be happy because they are getting a sale out of me today because of Scoot Henderson. damn, that sounds good. What also sounds good is the attitude of Scoot Henderson on the court, because I love some guys with a little FU mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear all the guys say in draft combine lead up, like, yeah, I'm a hard worker. And, I'm a dog out there, and I want to get it, and I'm going to be in the weight room, first in, last out, blah, blah, blah. It seems like he just keeps reminding people, like, oh, no, I'm a dog. I'm going to go, like, he wants people to know, and I've seen from his play in the highlights against the Paris-France team or whatever that Wembanyama was on last year, like, dude wants the smoke.
And won that game, too.
He's got that attitude in him that I love in NBA players, where it's just, I know the season's long, and I know that one basket is one basket, but I just feel like NBA players need to, like, just talk a little bit more. Like, I love Patrick Beverley because he's John. When he makes a play, he lets you know about it. And imagine if you get that out of a all-star caliber player that just loves to talk and loves to tell you, like, I'm here for it. I'm, like I said, I want the smoke, and have that bulldog mentality. That's what I've loved to see so far out of Scoot Henderson in the days that after we've drafted him, is seeing all those clips, those highlights, and then those quotes from him. And I love that intensity.
I think one of the best things to happen to young future NBA stars is the G League, is their ability to forego their freshman year of college and really start playing professionally and start learning how to work as an NBA pro, how to work out as an NBA pro, what to eat, what to do, you know, how the speed of the game changes. It's a huge jump from college to the NBA. The way you play is different. College is more, more so about team ball, right? Moving the ball, making sure everybody's where they're supposed to be and all that type of stuff. So you can see a great college scorer like Jason Tatum average about 14 points in college. Right. So you don't know that he's capable of coming in, putting up 30 every game, because that's not the way college rosters are built. Scoot Henderson has been playing with grown ass men and killing against grown ass men out there putting up numbers. And you mentioned the game against the French team was giving Wembanyama the work. There's a clip where he's the top of the key, kind of crossover behind the back, step back three right in Wimby's face. Like, ooh, that's nasty.
I know it's highlights, but that little showcase there of the G League versus the French team was, he's got some moments in there like, damn.
Yeah, you could tell who the stars were. Now, Wembanyama, when you look at him, you say, wow, if we thought that, you know, Porzingis was a unicorn. Remember when he first came out, we were like, man, that kid, look at what he can do. Wembanyama, 7'5", can shoot, dribble.
Look at this picture of him with David Robinson and Tim Duncan.
He makes David Robinson the admiral. He makes the admiral
makes
look
him
small.
Makes him look like a shorty.
Makes Tim Duncan look small.
Who's that white guy? Oh, that's Ginobili. That's Manu Ginobili.
He made Ginobili look like he's a 6 foot, or excuse me, like a 5'10". Guy.
Manu looks like an NBA fan.
But yeah, Manu looks like a fan.
He looks like the owner of the restaurant wherever they're at.
Scoot, however, isn't like 6'7". He's not physically imposing. However, he's strong. He's 6'3", man, 195 pounds. And this is before he's working with an actual NBA roster at this point. So he's going to gain another 5 pounds, another 7 pounds of solid muscle, more than likely. There's nothing not to like about Scoot Henderson, and he was in the movie about LeBron's team. We forget that he played one of the Fab Five. From,
Scoot did.
He did
in that Peacock movie that
just
came out,
which is actually really good. If you haven't seen it, really good. Shout out to Marquise Mookie Cook from right here in Portland, Oregon, who played LeBron James in that movie.
Wife and I got to put that one on.
And man, it was he did. I mean, is he a great actor? No, but let's go ahead and do that. Scoot, man, we love you so far. Acting, not yet.
Wait, you're telling me that a straight to movie on the cock was not good?
No. No. The movie was great.
I'm talking about Peacock, by the way.
The movie itself is awesome. Scoot wasn't the greatest actor in the movie. However, like I said, Marquise Cook, Mookie Cook, did great as LeBron. And then you got a great cast, the people like the Wood Harrises of the world, and some other. If you watch The Wire, you'll find a bunch of people from The Wire that are in the movie. But no, I thought it was great. And just Scoot being a part of that whole thing and then getting a chance to come here to Portland is like, okay, that's a great introduction to the world of basketball, you know, the world of NBA ball by being in this movie about LeBron and then transitioning to the third overall pick playing for the Portland Trailblazers, who are in a bit of flux right now. So this is a great opportunity for Scoot. And to be real, it's a great opportunity for us as Blazer fans, man. We've been waiting for a change. And whether it's the change we wanted or not, like we're getting change.
Maybe this is your big move, Blazer fans.
Maybe this is it.
I'm going to go jump off the top of this.
No,
building.
I mean, it sounds.
I know that's a big move. It sounds like you guys that are calling for a trade for a team, and then all of a sudden a player comes back from injury and the GM comes out and says, "That's the trade. That's the addition midseason." You lazy bums.
It's about being realistic.
Not you, the organization.
It's about being realistic as far as what we can do and what's available. And like we talked about this before the show went on, the best free agent that we've ever got here in Portland was the Rasta Monster, Brian Grant. That's love the best Brian one Grant. We've ever got. So history shows us that that's not going to be the way we build this team. So if we can build this team through drafts, we can build this team through, you know, hopefully good trades, then I think you just knocked it out the park with two guys in the first round that could potentially be game changers for you. Potentially, you know, we'll see. Like I said, if Chris Murray's ceiling is his brother Keegan, I think that's okay.
I want to do a fun exercise next because we're all Blazer fans here, and I know that listeners out there, most of you are Blazers fans. So let's take a stroll down the Rip City subreddit and what some of the things people are saying today. Because what I love is the world was on fire a couple days ago after Joe Cronin's press conference. And now that the players have been introduced, boy, has the tune been changed a little
that
bit.
That is so Portland fan. Damn it.
So let's do that and read some of the posts and some of the titles of these posts on the Blazers subreddit next on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
If you want to know what Will Ortner is going to look like in 15 to 20 years, just look at Joe Cronin. I mean, tell me that does not look like an older Will Ortner.
That's funny.
Come on.
Is he as jacked as Will is?
No.
No, not at all.
Does he wear size 18 shoes or whatever? Have we confirmed what shoe size Will Ortner wears? Because the dude's got some boats.
Will looks like Hulk Hogan, man.
He wears the like low top Nike Dunks, the Nike SBs, and you know, good looking shoes. But man, those things are just massive. It's been a while since I've seen a foot that big.
Got to call Shaq for some shoes.
Shout out to Nick Irwin, Sherwood High School quarterback, my senior year. Kid was probably a $1.50 soaking wet, 15 size foot.
Jeez.
Hey, you know what that means? Big feet, big hands, big shoes, and big gloves.
Big quarterback arm. Guy could sling it. He was great in that wing tee offense.
Yeah,
I'm having flashbacks right now. As a wide receiver in a wing tee offense, not a lot of opportunities.
I was going to say, that's like just one step above the wishbone, essentially.
God,
it's just option bass or football. Excuse me.
Okay, so let's read some things on the Rip City subreddit, huh? It's funny how things can change so drastically in just a week. Here's one for you, Jordan and Rashad. The Blazers are one solid young big away from having one of the brightest futures in the league. hey, they go on to say, look, Scoot, 6'2", with a 6'9 wingspan. Shaden, 6'6", with a 7-foot wingspan.
Are you kidding me?
Rupert, 6'7", with a 7'3 wingspan, which honestly, if you haven't seen that dude, like, go look at a picture. His arms are freakishly long. Like, it is Giannis status how wide his
Batum.
Wingspan.
He's literally Nick Batum.
Ryan Rupert. And then Chris Murray. At 6'9", with a 7-foot wingspan, I mean, hey, you guys wanted that length, that athleticism, Blazer fans. Hold on, let me see the rest that Neil Olshey texted me that I need to tell you guys.
That's funny. Okay,
process, trust it, patience, best backcourt, for years, something like that.
Removing
proprietary information.
Sounds about right.
Removing my bias from this situation, does that not sound like a conditioned Oakland Athletics fan a decade ago? Like in the Billy Bean?
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Either fan or analyst say, you know, it could go badly with Scoot. There has not been one person, and I understand the talent is there. He's been a professional since he was 17, but I'm not there. I'm not at acceptance, guys. I'm still really pissed. Well, I want to pick my eyes out with an ice pick.
Well, I think that the possibility of it not working out is the case with every player that's ever been drafted ever. So if you're living in the mindset that that's what you're worried about, then you probably don't
but
need to be a GM.
Dame. It's Dame. I get it. I hear what you guys are
but
saying.
But Dame was also a 6th overall pick out of Weber State.
Who the hell is where? Because I mean, you're looking at a person when Damian Lillard was drafted. Was like, who the? Because Damian Lillard from Weber State.
I understand that, but he's going to end up being a guaranteed Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer.
He is.
I mean, we hit the lottery in Portland being able to watch that guy for a decade.
No, we absolutely have. But at the same time, we've watched a great player accomplish. Not a whole lot. 11 years, how many times? All NBA? So 3 times All NBA in 11 years. You've been to 7 All Star games at this point. You've been out of the first round, 4 times?
No, I know.
Conference finals once. Like, I get it. It's all good. And it's, I mean,
so as fans, we're supposed to keep showing up for the GM making that decision?
No,
that's where I am lost. And that's where you got to cut the cord.
And I think for me, the big thing is, like, as much as I love Dame, I love the Blazers more because when Dame is gone, like, I'll still be when he's old and, you know, can't do basketball anymore, I'm more than likely still going to be a Blazers fan. And so, yeah, I would like to know that, like, at this point, with this, what we know, it hasn't worked. 11 years, this hasn't worked. So, yeah, maybe it's time for something new. And maybe Scoot pops. Maybe he doesn't. If he doesn't pop, hey, we got Dame for another 4 years.
But also, right. I like the chances when you have, I don't know, the 3rd pick in the NBA draft. I like taking the risk on a player. We're not talking about the 23rd, 27th, 30th, and let's hope. Or we traded
up. It's not a Nolan Smith.
We didn't trade up for a Zach Collins at 10, and we're like, ooh, fingers crossed. It's like, dude, this guy.
It's the highest draft pick we've had since Greg. Yeah. And mind you, before he got hurt, man, Go was good. And the Blazers were projected to be a championship team within 4 to 5 seasons. Like, that's how good they were. And so we'll just have to see. I believe in Scoot. I've seen enough of him at this point to say, okay, well, he might be the next guy. So I guess time will tell, and I'll give it 35 games or so.
And I do want to talk about Scoot a little bit because, I mean, Blazers drafted him on draft night. I said, all right, let's give it a couple days so that way it can kind of set in. And you see him at the press conference. You see him with the jersey number now, getting in the city. He's going to be a Blazer.
Double zero.
He's part of the team, so let's figure out and find out more about Scoot Henderson because so far in these last 3 days, I like what I'm seeing. We get to that next, but Jordan Schultz, SportsCenter update.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Scoot Henderson is your newest Trailblazers. Wow, words. Am I okay? Am I having a stroke?
It happens, bro.
I just think you don't want to say it. I think you're just like...
I smell toast. Am I okay?
Fast.
Scoot Henderson is your newest Portland Trailblazer. Enunciate with the lips, the teeth, and the tongue.
Now, brown cow.
Yes, the librarian in elementary school taught me that one. Not the brown cow, the enunciation thing. Anyways, Scoot Henderson, God, he, you know what? Raising Cane's better be happy because they are getting a sale out of me today because of Scoot Henderson. Damn, that sounds good. What also sounds good is the attitude of Scoot Henderson on the court because I love some guys with a little FU mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, you hear all the guys say in draft combine lead up, like, yeah, I'm a hard worker. And I'm a dog out there and I want to get it. And I'm going to be in the weight room first in, last out, blah, blah, blah. It seems like he just keeps reminding people like, oh, no, I'm a dog. I'm going to go like he wants people to know. And I've seen from his play in the highlights against the Paris, France team or whatever that Wembanyama was on last year. Like, dude wants the smoke.
And won that game, too.
He's got that attitude in him that I love in NBA players where it's just, I know the season's long and I know that one basket is one basket, but I just feel like NBA players need to, like, just talk a little bit more. Like, I love Patrick Beverley because he's John. When he makes a play, he lets you know about it. And imagine if you get that out of a all-star caliber player that just loves to talk and loves to tell you, like, I'm here for it. I'm, like I said, I want the smoke and have that bulldog mentality. That's what I've loved to see so far out of Scoot Henderson in the days that after we've drafted him, is seeing all those clips, those highlights, and then those quotes from him. And I love that intensity.
I think one of the best things to happen to young future NBA stars is the G League. Is their ability to forego their freshman year of college and really start playing professionally and start learning how to work as an NBA pro, how to work out as an NBA pro, what to eat, what to do, you know, how the speed of the game changes. It's a huge jump from college to the NBA. The way you play is different. College is more so about team ball, right? Moving the ball, making sure everybody's where they're supposed to be and all that type of stuff. So you can see a great college scorer like Jason Tatum average about 14 points in college, right? So you don't know that he's capable of coming in, putting up 30 every game because that's not the way college rosters are built. Scoot Henderson has been playing with grown-ass men and killing against grown-ass men. Out there putting up numbers. And you mentioned the game against the French team. Was given Wembanyama the work. There's a clip where he's at the top of the key, kind of crossover behind the back, step back three right in Wemby's face. Like, ooh, that's nasty.
I know it's highlights, but that little showcase there of the G League versus the French team was, he's got some moments in there like, damn.
Yeah, you can tell who the stars were. Now, Wembanyama, when you look at him, you say, wow, if we thought that, you know, Porzingis was a unicorn. Remember when he first came out, we were like, man, that kid, look at what he can do. Wembanyama, 7'5", can shoot, can dribble.
Look at this picture of him with David Robinson and Tim Duncan.
He makes David Robinson the admiral. He makes the admiral
makes
look
him
small.
Like a shorty.
Makes Tim Duncan look small.
Who's that white guy? Oh, that's Ginobili.
He made Ginobili look like he's a 6-foot, or excuse me, like a 5'10", guy.
Manu looks like an NBA fan.
But yeah, Manu looks like a fan.
He looks like the owner of the restaurant wherever they're at.
Scoot, however, yes. isn't like 6'7". He's not physically imposing. However, he's strong. He's 6'3", man, 195 pounds. And this is before he's working with an actual NBA roster at this point. So he's going to gain another 5 pounds, another 7 pounds of solid muscle, more than likely. There's nothing not to like about Scoot Henderson. And he was in the movie about LeBron's team. We forget that. He played one of the Fab Five. From,
Scoot did?
He did.
In that Peacock movie that just came out?
Which is actually really good if you haven't seen it. Really good. Shout out to Marquise Mookie Cook from right here in Portland, Oregon, who played LeBron James in that movie.
Wife and I got to put that one on.
And, man, it was he did. I mean, is he a great actor? No. But let's go ahead and do that. Scoot, man, we love you so far. Acting, not yet.
Wait, you're telling me that a straight-to-movie on the cock was not good?
No. No, the movie was great.
I'm talking about Peacock, by the way.
The movie itself is awesome. Scoot wasn't the greatest actor in the movie. However, like I said, Marquise Mookie Cook did great as LeBron. And then you got a great cast of people like the Wood Harrises of the world and some other. If you watch The Wire, you'll find a bunch of people from The Wire that are in the movie. But no, I thought it was great. And just Scoot being a part of that whole thing and then getting a chance to come here to Portland is like, okay, that's a great introduction to the world of basketball, you know, the world of NBA ball by being in this movie about LeBron and then transitioning to the third overall pick playing for the Portland Trailblazers, who are in a bit of flux right now. So this is a great opportunity for Scoot. And to be real, it's a great opportunity for us as Blazer fans, man. We've been waiting for a change, and whether it's the change we wanted or not, like we're getting changed.
Maybe this is your big move, Blazer fans.
Maybe this is it. Maybe
I'm going to go jump off the top of this.
No,
building.
I mean, it sounds...
I know, that's a big move. It sounds like you guys that are calling for a trade for a team, and then all of a sudden a player comes back from injury and the GM comes out and says, that's the trade, that's the addition midseason. You lazy bums.
It's about being
not
realistic.
You, it's organization.
It's about being realistic as far as what we can do and what's available. And like we talked about this before the show went on, the best free agent that we've ever got here in Portland was the Rasta Monster, Brian Grant. That's the best one we've ever got. So history shows us that that's not going to be the way we build this team. So if we can build this team through drafts, we can build this team through, you know, hopefully good trades, then I think you just knocked it out the park with two guys in the first round that could potentially be game changers for you. Potentially, you know, we'll see. Like I said, if Chris Murray's ceiling is his brother Keegan, I think that's okay.
I want to do a fun exercise next because we're all Blazer fans here, and I know that listeners out there, most of you are Blazers fans. So let's take a stroll down the Rip City subreddit and what some of the things people are saying today. Because
Reddit.
Because what I love is the world was on fire a couple days ago after Joe Cronin's press conference. And now that the players have been introduced, boy, has the tune been changed a little
bit. That is so Portland fan. Damn it.
So let's do that and read some of the posts and some of the titles of these posts on the Blazers subreddit next on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
If you want to know what Will Ortner is going to look like in 15 to 20 years, just look at Joe Cronin. I mean, tell me that does not look like an older Will Ortner.
That's funny.
Come on.
Is he as jacked as Will is?
No.
No, not at all.
Does he wear size 18 shoes or whatever? Have we confirmed what shoe size Will Ortner wears? Because the dude's got some boats.
Will looks like Hulk Hogan, man.
He wears the like low top Nike Dunks, the Nike SBs, and you know, good looking shoes. But man, those things are just massive. It's been a while since I've seen a foot that big.
Got to call Shaq for some shoes.
Shout out to Nick Irwin, Sherwood High School quarterback, my senior year. Kid was probably a $1.50 soaking wet, 15 size foot.
Jeez.
Hey, you know what that means? Big feet, big hands, big shoes, and big gloves.
Big quarterback arm, guy could sling it. He was great in that wing tee offense. I'm having
wing T offense.
Yeah, I'm having flashbacks right now. As a wide receiver in a wing T offense, not a lot of opportunities.
I was going to say, that's like just one step above the wishbone, essentially.
God.
It's just option bass or football, excuse me.
Okay, so let's read some things on the Rip City subreddit, huh? It's funny how things can change so drastically in just a week. Here's one for you, Jordan and Rashad. The Blazers are one solid young big away from having one of the brightest futures in the league. hey, they go on to say, look, Scoot, 6'2", with a 6'9 wingspan. Shaden, 6'6", with a 7-foot wingspan.
Are you kidding me?
Rupert, 6'7", with a 7'3 wingspan, which, honestly, if you haven't seen that dude, like, go look at a picture. His arms are freakishly long. Like, it is Giannis, that is how wide his wingspan.
He's literally Nick Batum.
Ryan Rupert. And then Chris Murray at 6'9", with a 7-foot wingspan. I mean, hey, you guys wanted that length, that athleticism, Blazer fans. Hold on, let me see the rest that Neil Olshey texted me that I need to tell you guys.
That's funny. Okay,
process, trust it, patience, best backcourt for years, something like that.
Removing
proprietary
information.
Sounds
about right.
Removing my bias from this situation, does that not sound like a conditioned Oakland Athletics fan a decade ago? Like in the Billy Bean like system of, you know, players turning?
Yeah, how many insert team has one of the brightest futures in the league? How
exactly.
many times has that been said? There is just a picture of the Young Bucks at the press conference with Chauncey and Joe Cronin, and it's just simply, here we go. 422 upvotes for that, so you know Blazer fans are loving it. What's another one we got here? Oh, yeah, just someone simply reposting in another picture. We gonna be all right. Oh, there was one more. There was a good one. A former scout or coach says that Ryan Rupert, hardest worker I've ever coached. There's that one.
That about half the players the Blazers have drafted in the last decade.
And this wasn't on the subreddit. This is just a quote from Joe Cronin, but he said on Scoot, Murray, and Ryan Rupert that it was one of those unique draft nights where we had all three of these players ranked in the lottery. How about that? How convenient. All three of the players that the Blazers drafted were in their lottery. Rashad, you did bring up a good point, like, does that mean, like, in their lottery, in their expected position of where they're drafting, like, at 23?
Like, this is who we expect to still be on the board.
Yeah, and he's saying, like, oh, this was part of our lottery, our top 14 players
like if
we wanted.
This guy drops, that's who we're going to take.
Yeah, so, I mean, hell, if that's how they're feeling, there's part of me that is somewhat getting swayed by the roster-building side of this regime. With, gosh, who's the guy that is the assistant GM who was high on Ryan Rupert? He has tweets from like 2 years ago seeing him. Schmitz, I want to say his name. But there is part of me that, and I can't believe I'm falling for it, that is like kind of getting the snake oil salesman and this like, hey, young guys, the future wingspan, All-American, great young talent. So, you know, Jordan, I hear you over there. I know how you're feeling, but
I'm sorry. I mean, I sound like a total pessimist, you guys, and I do apologize.
You have a very good reason to be.
I know there's an easy way for fans to just kind of come at me and be like, hey, you know, stop being a negative jerk. I get that. I apologize. This is my true fandom coming out. When I watch sports, I don't watch sports just for the enjoyment. I watch sports because I want my team to win it all. That's the basis of my sports fandom. And maybe, you know, people out there can kind of understand why I'm a little more pissy about this, as opposed to just being like, oh, let's move on and hope for the best. Plus, I've already got a team that's been jerking me around for the past 20 years in the Seattle Mariners. I can't
good for
have
you.
To.
Yeah, you didn't have to pick the Mariners, though. I mean,
I made this joke. You know, I made this joke a couple weeks ago.
Be a Royals fan or like a.
Oh, dear God, don't do that.
I mean, they got a ring, don't they?
Shut up.
Seattle, I'm still waiting. Yeah. How much were those seats for the Seattle series last year? Like $1,000 because they never make it to the playoffs?
I mean, it's like the joke I told this when I was hosting Primetime a couple of weeks ago. When I was young, I got into the Jets. Then I got into girls. Then I got back into the Jets because I figured out that girls sometimes will screw you, but the Jets will always screw you. An insert team here, you know, for the New York Jets, but it's kind of what my life is as a Blazers and or Mariners fan. So I'm not willing to accept that us as fans just are ready to give up on the greatest player that we've ever had in our city. Four more years of possible prime basketball. To me, it's just, it's over my head. I can't understand it, and I don't think I ever will.
I've never been on the Dame as our best Blazer. I remember there was one guy we had here whose competition was Michael Jordan. The only other person that was a better shooting guard than that person was the greatest shooting guard, the greatest player of all time. So I digress. We're not gonna, that's a debate that can go either way. What I will say is for 10, 11 years, we've had the pleasure of watching, I can't even really say that, arguably the second best point guard of his era. And I say it's arguable because Chris Paul does still exist. Say what you want. He's washed. He's whatever. Chris Paul has been a better player than Damian Lillard has since Dame's whole career. But we've had the pleasure of watching him and watching him grow. And I'm pretty sure, like, when he got here, none of us thought Dame was going to be what he was. I certainly didn't. I was one of those guys saying, bro, we passed on Harrison Barnes for Damian Lillard, this guy who we know nothing about from Weber State. Like, what do you mean? Worked out pretty well for us, right? We got 10 great years out of him. We got Four Bar Friday out of him. We got a bunch of features and songs out of what is the greatest athlete / rapper / entertainer that we've ever had in history. Shaq wasn't as good. And mind you, I love Shaq, man, you know, but he was.
Tell me how my tastes.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We forget Shaq has an album where he has a song with Biggie. And he's got songs with Pun, and he's got songs with everybody. So Shaq was really out there. But Dame has given us a lot of great moments, a lot of great playoff moments in the first round. The wave bye-bye to OKC, the dagger against Houston. Like, he's given us some great moments. However, we just haven't been able to get to that mountaintop or even close to that mountaintop with Dame. I think he's done his job, and he's going to go down as arguably the greatest Blazer of all time. And you said top 75, but I'd argue with that list a lot because Dwight Howard isn't on there, but that's a whole different conversation. But yeah, man, I'm at this point now to where, as a fan, I'm ready to move on. And Dame is not to say that he's done anything wrong or anything like that, but we know now it just hasn't worked. And so now let's just try something else.
Yeah. I as much as people want to make fun of the loyalty aspect and the 10 toes down, I think that's very hard to find with a team like Portland, and that is the thing that I'm having a hard time with, like getting rid of Damian Lillard, someone who has been so loyal to this city. Because when you look at the rest of the league, and really the rest of the country, like if you want to even just talk outside basketball, Portland is looked at as just nothing. Like, why? To get rid of Damian Lillard, Stephen A., I feel so bad for that brother whenever I see him. It's like, dude, why? Because he plays for a different city than Miami or LA, New York. But what this has turned me into over the last few weeks has been a big whole like F you to the rest of the NBA landscape. Every other team, every other market, everybody else in the country. Because the way that people perceive Portland is like, you had your chance. Why do you want? Why do you deserve him anymore? Get rid of him. Blow it up. You guys suck.
Feels like they think that Portland never deserved him in the first place sometimes, honestly.
I've seen this in the job outside of this, where working with markets outside of Portland, where it's like, oh, if you guys needed some extra help there in Portland, we're over here in New York, so we can do that. We can help you out. It's like, dude, we're fine. Like, we got this. All right? Like, oh, like, it's just little old Portland out here, so why deserve a big old star like Damian Lillard? He's got to go to Miami, right? Got to go to L.A. It's driven me nuts, man. It's really upset me. But that's also given me the realization, like, this is the NBA. As you get older, you go through these experiences more and more, and you just got to realize, like, hey, if this can happen with the best player in Blazers franchise history, Rashad, then it's like, what's to think it can't happen to anybody?
Two NBA Finals, bro. Two NBA Finals.
Well, who had the better team around him?
What do you mean?
Is that the next debate? Who you give Dame the supporting cast that Clyde Drexler had? What does he do in his career?
Yeah, the GM at the time for the Portland Trailblazers was actually, he cared more about the team than his own investment in those decisions. Let's be honest here. Neil Olshey was a hothead. GM, was it? God, I can't remember who it was back in the late 80s, early 90s. But pre-aligned with Rick Adelman and did whatever Rick Adelman asked roster-wise, got him the surrounding pieces. I mean, Danny Ainge, Kiki Vandeweghe trade for Buck Williams in the late 80s?
Yeah.
That got the Blazers over the top, or at least two of the finals.
I get it. You're not going to tell me that team was better than, as more talented than the, you just mentioned the LaMarcus Rolo starting five. Like, I'm some LaMarcus, Dame, Rolo, West.
You're saying they're more talented than the 90s team.
If you're telling, huh? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Basketball player, absolutely, 100%. Even guys like Nick Batum, who we talked about, who was like almost a unicorn too.
Different eras, but I see what you're saying.
Different,
I
think Dame, you know, has had his chances, or not had his chance, at least that won in the conference finals and lost to Golden State. But that's that. It's hard for me to say he's better than the guy that took our team to the finals twice in 3 years and was the best team in the Western Conference.
Ooh,
one of the best
teams. I wish we could spend 2 hours debating
just
this.
Just saying, you know, that's just me though.
All right, we got a whole nother hour to get to. Plenty of other NBA draft and transaction notes. A couple trades going through in the NBA that we need to get to. Plenty of other stuff. We get to hour number two here of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
If you want to know what Will Ortner is going to look like in 15 to 20 years, just look at Joe Cronin. I mean, tell me that does not look like an older Will Ortner.
That's funny.
Come on.
Is he as jacked as Will is?
No.
No, not at all.
Does he wear size 18 shoes or whatever? Have we confirmed what shoe size Will Ortner wears? Because the dude's got some boats.
Will looks like Hulk Hogan, man.
He wears the like low top Nike Dunks, the Nike SBs, and you know, good looking shoes. But man, those things are just massive. It's been a while since I've seen a foot that big.
Got to call Shaq for some shoes.
Shout out to Nick Irwin, Sherwood High School quarterback my senior year. Kid was probably a 150 soaking wet, 15 size foot.
Jeez.
Hey, you know what that means? Big feet, big hands, big shoes, and big gloves.
Big quarterback arm. Guy could sling it. He was great in that wing tee offense.
Wing tee offense?
Yeah, I'm having flashbacks right now. As a wide receiver in a wing tee offense, not a lot of opportunities.
I was going to say, that's like just one step above the wishbone, essentially.
God.
It's just option bass or football, excuse me.
Okay, so let's read some things on the Rip City subreddit, huh? It's funny how things can change so drastically in just a week. Here's one for you, Jordan and Rashad. The Blazers are one solid young big away from having one of the brightest futures in the league. hey, they go on to say, look, Scoot, 6'2", with a 6'9 wingspan. Shaden, 6'6", with a 7-foot wingspan.
Are you kidding me?
Rupaire, 6'7", with a 7'3 wingspan, which honestly, if you haven't seen that dude, like, go look at a picture. His arms are freakishly long. Like, it is Giannis status how wide
his Batum.
Wingspan.
He's literally Nick Batum.
Ryan Rupaire. And then Chris Murray. At 6'9", with a 7-foot wingspan, I mean, hey, you guys wanted that length, that athleticism, Blazer fans. Hold on, let me see the rest that Neil Olshay texted me that I need to tell you guys.
That's funny. Okay,
process, trust it, patience, best backcourt for years, something like that.
Removing
proprietary
information. Sounds about right.
Removing my bias from this situation, does that not sound like a conditioned Oakland Athletics fan a decade ago? Like in the Billy Bean like system of, you know, players turning?
Yeah, how many insert team has one of the brightest futures in the league?
Exactly.
How many times has that been said? There is just a picture of the Young Bucks at the press conference with Chauncey and Joe Cronin. It's just simply, here we go. 422 upvotes for that, so you know Blazer fans are loving it. What's another one we got here? Just someone simply reposting in another picture. We gonna be all right. There was one more. There was a good one. A former scout or coach says that Ryan Rupaire, hardest worker I've ever coached. There's that one.
Heard that about half the players the Blazers have drafted in the last decade.
And this wasn't on the subreddit. This is just a quote from Joe Cronin, but he said on Scoot, Murray, and Ryan Rupaire that it was one of those unique draft nights where we had all three of these players ranked in the lottery. How about that? How convenient. All three of the players that the Blazers drafted were in their lottery. Rashad, you did bring up a good point. Like, Does that mean, like, in their lottery, in their expected position of where they're drafting, like, at 23?
Like, this is who we expect to still be on the board.
Yeah, and he's saying, like, oh, this was part of our lottery, our top 14 players
like
we wanted.
Like, if this guy drops, that's who we're going to take.
Yeah, so, I mean, hell, if that's how they're feeling, there's part of me that is somewhat getting swayed by the roster-building side of this regime. With, gosh, who's the guy that is the assistant GM who was high on Ryan Repair? He has tweets from like 2 years ago seeing him. Schmitz, I want to say his name. But there is part of me that, and I can't believe I'm falling for it, that is like kind of getting the snake oil salesman and this like, hey, young guys, the future wingspan, All-American, great young talent. So, you know, Jordan, I hear you over there. I know how you're feeling, but
I'm sorry. I mean, I sound like a total pessimist, you guys, and I do apologize.
You have a very good reason to be.
I know there's an easy way for fans to just kind of come at me and be like, hey, you know, stop being a negative jerk. I get that. I apologize. This is my true fandom coming out. When I watch sports, I don't watch sports just for the enjoyment. I watch sports because I want my team to win it all. That's the basis of my sports fandom. And maybe, you know, people out there can kind of understand why I'm a little more pissy about this, as opposed to just being like, oh, let's move on and hope for the best. Plus, I've already got a team that's been jerking me around for the past 20 years in the Seattle Mariners. I can't
good for
have
you.
Two.
Yeah, you didn't have to pick the Mariners, though. I mean,
I made this joke. You know, I made this joke a couple weeks ago.
Be a Royals fan or like a
God, don't do that.
I mean, they've got a ring, don't they?
Shut up,
Seattle. Yeah, I'm still waiting. Yeah. How much were those seats for the Seattle series last year? Like $1,000 because they never make it to the playoffs.
I mean, it's like the joke I told this when I was hosting Primetime a couple of weeks ago. When I was young, I got into the Jets. Then I got into girls. Then I got back into the Jets because I figured out that girls sometimes will screw you, but the Jets will always screw you. And insert team here, you know, for the New York Jets. But it's kind of what my life is as a Blazers and or Mariners fan. So I'm not willing to accept that us as fans just are ready to give up on the greatest player that we've ever had in our city. 4 more years of possible prime basketball. To me, it's over my head. I can't understand it. And I don't think I ever will.
I've never been on the Dame as our best Blazer. I remember there was one guy we had here whose competition was Michael Jordan. The only other person that was a better shooting guard than that person was the greatest shooting guard, the greatest player of all time. So I digress. We're not gonna. That's a debate that can go either way. What I will say is, for 10, 11 years, we've had the pleasure of watching. I can't even really say that arguably the second best point guard of his era. And I say it's arguable because Chris Paul does still exist. Say what you want. He's washed. He's whatever. Chris Paul has been a better player than Damian Lillard has since Dame's whole career. But we've had the pleasure of watching him and watching him grow. And I'm pretty sure like when he got here, none of us thought Dame was going to be what he was. I certainly didn't. I was one of those guys saying, bro, we passed on Harrison Barnes for Damian Lillard, this guy who we know nothing about from Weber State. Like, what do you mean? Worked out pretty well for us, right? We got 10 great years out of him. We got Four Bar Friday out of him. We got a bunch of features and songs out of what is the greatest athlete slash rapper slash entertainer that we've ever had in history. Shaq wasn't as good. And mind you, I love Shaq, man, you know, but he
was. Tell me how my tastes.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We forget Shaq has an album where he has a song with Biggie, and he's got songs with Pun, and he's got songs with everybody. So Shaq was really out there. But Dame has given us a lot of great moments, a lot of great playoff moments in the first round. The wave bye-bye to OKC, the dagger against Houston. Like, he's given us some great moments. However, we just haven't been able to get to that mountaintop. Or even close to that mountaintop with Dame. I think he's done his job, and he's going to go down as arguably the greatest Blazer of all time. And you said top 75, but I'd argue with that list a lot because Dwight Howard isn't on there, but that's a whole different conversation. But, yeah, man, I'm at this point now to where, as a fan, I'm ready to move on. And Dame is not to say that he's done anything wrong or anything like that, but we know now it just hasn't worked. And so now let's just try something else.
Yeah, as much as people want to make fun of the loyalty aspect and the 10 toes down, I just think that I think that's very hard to find with a team like Portland, and that is the thing that I'm having a hard time with, like getting rid of Damian Lillard, someone who has been so loyal to this city. Because when you look at the rest of the league and really the rest of the country, like if you want to even just talk outside basketball, Portland is looked at as just nothing. Like, why to get rid of Damian Lillard? Stephen A., I feel so bad for that brother whenever I see him. It's like, dude, why? Because he plays for a different city than Miami or L.A., New York. But like, what this has turned me into over the last few weeks has been a big whole like F you to the rest of the NBA landscape. Every other team, every other market, everybody else in the country, because the way that people receive Portland is like, you had your chance. Why do you want? Why do you deserve him anymore? Get rid of him. Blow it up. You guys suck.
Feels like they think that Portland never deserved him in the first place sometimes, honestly.
I've seen this in the job outside of this. We're working with markets outside of Portland where it's like, oh, if you guys need some extra help there in Portland, we're over here in New York, so we can do that. We can help you out. It's like, dude, we're fine. Like, we got this. All right? Like, oh, like, it's just little old Portland out here, so why deserve a big old star like Damian Lillard? He's got to go to Miami, right? Got to go to L.A. It's driven me nuts, man. It's really upset me. But that's also given me the realization, like, this is the NBA. As you get older, you go through these experiences more and more, and you just got to realize, like, hey, if this can happen with the best player in Blazers franchise history, Rashad, then... then it's like, what's to think it can't happen
to
anybody?
Two NBA Finals, bro. Two NBA Finals.
Well, who had the better team around him?
What do you mean?
Is that the next debate? Who you give Dame the supporting cast that Clyde Drexler had? What does he do in his career?
Yeah, the GM at the time for the Portland Trailblazers was actually, he cared more about the team than his own investment in those decisions. Let's be honest here. Neil Olshey was a hothead. GM, was it? God, I can't remember who it was back in the late 80s, early 90s, but pre-aligned with Rick Adelman and did whatever Rick Adelman asked roster-wise, got him the surrounding pieces. I mean, Danny Ainge, Kiki Vandeweghe trade for Buck Williams in the late 80s?
Yeah.
That got the Blazers over the top, or at least
it.
Two of the
I
finals.
Get it. You're not going to tell me that team was better than, as more talented than the, you just mentioned the LaMarcus Rolo, starting five, like I'm Marcus, Dame, Rolo. West.
You're saying they're more talented than the '90s
team. If you're telling, absolutely. Okay. Basketball player, absolutely, 100%. Even guys like Nick Batum, who we talked about, who was like almost a unicorn too.
Different eras, but I see what you're saying.
Different,
but
I think Dame, you know, has had his chances, or not had his chance. At least that won in the conference finals and lost to Golden State. But that's that. It's hard for me to say he's better than the guy that took our team to the finals twice in 3 years. And was the best team in the Western Conference.
Ooh,
one of the best teams.
I wish we could spend 2 hours debating
just
this.
Saying, you know, that's just me, though.
All right, we got a whole nother hour to get to. Plenty of other NBA draft and transaction notes. A couple trades going through in the NBA that we need to get to. Plenty of other stuff. We get to hour number two here of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.